The ruins weren't hot.
Dark night. I really hate to leave all that food and brass behind.
JB cast a sorrowful glance down the block at the manhole cover. A gust of wind was blowing some dust along the street, making the few partially intact windows of the buildings rattle in the frames.
We'll come back and get the rest once we have a safe place to stay. No sense hauling it all up, just to lure it back down again.
Safe way it is. Watchdogs are guard.
You mean the alligators? Yeah, I guess they'll protect our excess baggage better than having Mike Tyson as a skycap.
Mildred waited for a laugh, but none came. Too many cultural references were meaningless these days. Doc got some of her jokes, but most fell flat. Humor was a victim of the war as much as anything else. Easing off her bearskin coat, Christy tucked it through the canvas straps of her backpack and undid a couple of buttons on her shirt. In spite of the heavy clouds, the sun was beating down hard, and the temperature on the open street was quickly becoming uncomfortable after the cool darkness of the flooded sewer. Most of the buildings in the city were smashed to rubble, piles of debris that reached 20 feet high. In others, only the windows were gone, making the buildings hollow shells. Oddly, most of the destruction was only on the upper levels. Here on the street, most of the structures were in decent shape, with some of the windows and most doors relatively intact.
This is nuke storm damage. Something must have blocked the skydark winds from smashing the place apart.
Mayhap there once were hills surrounding the city.
Doc craned his neck to see down a side street. In the distance, there seemed to be only barren scrubland, a mix of sand and scraggy weeds stretching to the horizon. He found the sight oddly disturbing.
Have I been here before?
There were so many jumbled memories in his mind that he could no longer tell which were true and which were only delusions from his days of madness. Jack squinted at a nearby civvy wag. The perfectly smooth fiberglass body rested on jumbled piles of rusted machinery.
License plates rusted clean. We won't get the location from that.
All of the wags lining the sidewalks were in ragged condition, their tires long gone, most of the windows broken, and the interior not much more than cracked plastic and bare metal springs. Brushing back his matted hair, Ryan scowled at that. Even the store signs were clean. No way of knowing if they were even in a country that spoke English, although the architecture looked familiar, but they could be anywhere. Loose sand blew freely among the buildings, mounds reaching all the way to the roofs in some of the lower sections. Every window was rubbed white from the grinding winds, and most of the frames were bare metal, every fleck of paint removed long ago by the inclement weather. The sun appeared and disappeared behind the heavy clouds, casting dappled shadows across the nameless city, not allowing JB to get a read with the mini-sextant. As they prowled along the storefronts, the companions found that a few of the larger windows were smashed open, the dry sand covering the inside of the stores like a golden carpet. Going to a rusted hulk parked alongside the curb, Jack tried to see inside, but the windows were solid white. Trying the handle, he was surprised to find it unlocked and pulled open the door, warily stepping out of the way. But the vehicle was empty, stripped to the walls. The seats were gone, the safety belts, the rubber mats, and the dashboard were only a series of gaping holes where dials and controls had once been. Only a CD glittered brightly from the sagging dashboard, its shining perfection making the rest of the wag appear dowdy and wretched in comparison. Quite unexpectedly, the sun broke free from the cloud cover, and JB quickly reached under his shirt to pull out his miniature sextant. It took him a few moments to do the mental calculations, then check them against the pre-dark map in his munitions bag. JB tucked away the old battered map at last.
This is southeastern Arizona. We're in the zone. Close enough to Tucson that it really makes no damn difference.
Tucson.
Doc acted as if the word had hidden meaning. A sick feeling blossomed in his stomach for no discernible reason.
Or at least this is where Tucson used to be. Could be some other city, the way the nuke quakes move some places around.
Move cities?
Nukes move mountains. Why not cities?
Mildred removed the cap on her canteen and took a small drink, trying to ration the water.
Curious. Tucson was an important city in this state. I'm startled that it wasn't nuked.
Ryan looked down an alleyway. It was clean and empty. Not even a rat was in sight.
Not enough bombs in existence to vaporize every city on the bastard planet. If there had been, we wouldn't be here.
Destroying civilization and obliterating humanity are two entirely different things, thank God. Anyway, we should be looking for a place to stay the night. A bank, library, police station, something solid like that.
Cupping a hand to her face, Christy looked upward.
We should be able to get a good view of the whole city from the top of one of these buildings.
Indeed, madam. Just as long as you are not suggesting a stroll to the top one.
Mildred took appraisal of the destroyed skyscraper. The internal struts and beams were visibly swaying in the warm breeze. The twisted metal was probably groaning like a dying man, but at this distance there was only the sound of the endless wind.
Not up for it, eh?
Only in my youth, dear doctor, which at this point seems like a million years ago.
Slinging the styre over his shoulder, Ryan took a long pull from his canteen, the flat, sterilized water from the redoubt washing out the muddy flavor of the river.
Huh. Strange.
What is it, lover?
The windows. None of the store windows have their shutters down.
Tucson had very little crime, if I remember correctly.
Mildred hitched her heavy med kit into a more comfortable position. Her lumbar was starting to ache from the unaccustomed weight.
Maybe they didn't have steel shutters the way Chicago and New York did.
Deuced odd, I must say.
After being submerged, the black powder charges were dead. The weapons would have to be purged and reloaded. Almost reluctantly, Doc hefted the Ruger 44 wheel gun and eased back the hammer, only to gently return it back into place. The stainless steel blaster was a lot lighter than his cumbersome iron Lamar, and the bullets were waterproof. Both fine attributes. Then again, the Lamar was from his time period. A living piece of the past that he could hold. The touch of the Civil War blaster helped him to remember better times with his wife and children. Ryan studied the intersection.
This is a good area. Mildred and Jack stay here, while the rest of us do a fast wreck.
Mildred eased her medkit to the ground.
No problem. Got you covered.
As JB and Christy went in different directions, Ryan stepped around a pothole in the sidewalk to investigate a liquor store that seemed undisturbed. The grating was raised, but when he checked the door, it was open, the lock broken apart. For a split second, he had a flashback to the city in his dreams, but then it was gone. Shaking off the old memories, Ryan loosened the panga on his belt and gently pushed open the door with the barrel of the stire to walk inside. Illuminated by the milky window light, the interior of the store was empty. Everything was gone. Every stick of furniture, every light fixture, even the carpeting on the floor had been removed. The place was stripped to the walls. The foam tiles in the ceiling had been pried loose, exposing the framework of aluminum struts hanging from the gray concrete ceiling. Warily checking the bathroom, Ryan wasn't surprised to see that the sink and toilet were also missing, along with the wall mirror. He felt a cold chill creep along his spine at the sight. A looted city was to be expected, but not like this. This had been systematic, well organized. The sink hadn't been ripped out of the wall, but unbolted and carefully removed. The whole store had been scavenged. Quickly stepping outside, Ryan found the other companions coming out of different buildings, all of their expressions similar, confused and concerned.
Same thing here. Somebody raided the whole damn city, didn't they?
Every bastard lock, stock, and barrel, as long as there was a barrel in the first place.
Bastard strange, that's for sure.
Ryan walked to another store and pressed his face to the glass to try to see inside. From the faded lettering on the inside of the glass, it seemed to be a bookstore, but it was difficult to tell for sure. The old glass was so badly roughed, it was like trying to look through winter ice. The sound came from inside the store, and the companions scrambled for their weapons. Safeties were snicked off and slides racked as they watched a humanoid figure move along the other side of the frosted glass. He was shuffling along the interior of the building with his shoulders hunched, his long arms dangling, and what seemed to be ragged clothing hanging in strips off his bulky frame. Tracking the murky shape with the muzzle of the Sig Sauer, Ryan jerked a thumb to his left and began to retreat from the bookstore. Nodding in agreement, the other companions were close behind, moving as softly as possible. That was a sticky inside the building. The muties were the scourge of the Deathlands, hard to kill and often traveling in packs of dozens. The only reason they hadn't taken over the Deathlands was that they were stupid and easily outmaneuvered. As if on cue, the door to the bookstore swung open. Blinking its oversized eyes at the sunlight, the big male sticky tilted his head to look directly at the masked companions. Nobody moved or spoke for a single long moment. The incredible sight of the muti using a door just like a norm, paralyzing the stunned companions into immobility. It hadn't dumbly pushed the door open, Ryan realized in shock. The mutie had turned the knob first to disengage the lock. How was that possible? Without warning, the window exploded, showering the companions in shards of milky glass, and out rushed a dozen of the humanoid creatures, uncaring of the sharp glass they raced over with bare feet. But even as the companions recouped from the startling arrival of the muties, they were shocked at the sight of the stickies waving thick sticks with sharp rocks attached to the ends with ropes.
No way!
Ryan cut loose with his sire. The 7.62mm rounds blew away two of the stickies, the dying muties dropping their clubs as they slumped to the sidewalk, gushing watery blood from their gaping head wounds.
Son of a bitch!
JB hammered the muties with a long burst from his Uzi, the copper-jacketed 9mm rounds punching through the heads of the creatures with grisly results. But as the first wave of stickies fell, more climbed through the broken window and charged at the companions, waving their crude weapons. Then the one standing in the doorway reached back inside the store and pulled out a wooden spear, the tip blackened by fire to make the point hard and more lethal.
Fire blast!
Ryan fired the Stire, blowing out the brains of that monster, then swung up the stock to smash the face of another as it tried to grab him by the throat. Incredibly, the next sticky backed away and tried to duck around the long blaster. What the hell was going on here? These stickies were dodging an attack, almost as if they were intelligent. This was worse than any jump nightmare. Jack cut loose with the Colt Python, blowing tongues of flame, then flipped a knife into the eye of a second mutie. Both muties fell, oozing blood onto the sandy, pre-dark street. Instinctively thumbing back the hammer on the Ruger as if it were the Lamaw, Doc blew off the misshapen face of a sticky, the grisly remnant hitting a nearby wall. An eye clinging to the brick stared blankly back at Doc, making the scholar shudder in revulsion. Ruthlessly, Christy sent a fan of hot lead from the MP5 across the shambling things, and Ryan put two more rounds into the bigger stickies to finish the job. But even as the last mutie kneeled on the broken asphalt, it looked up at the cloudy sky and uttered a new and different sound that none of the companions had ever heard before.
Dark night! The bastard is calling for help!
JB dropped a spent clip from his Uzi and slapped in a spare.
What's going on here? Did we jump to another world?
Is Carr back?
Christy's hair writhed in fright at the terrible name. Even as she frantically reloaded, Mildred considered the matter and knew that she had no possible answer. Nobody knew for sure where the stickies came from in the first place, whether they were accidents of nature caused by the nuclear holocaust, de-evolved humans, escaped genetic experiments, bioweapons, or whatever. But there was one singular, unarguable factor about the mutants. They lived, and anything alive always tried to improve itself, to make the next generation stronger, smarter, better. Perhaps the stickies had just taken the next step in evolution. In spite of herself, Mildred shivered at the idea. Stickies with weapons. Ryan pocketed an exhausted clip and slid the Stire off his shoulder.
Into the store, fast!
What was that? Are you mad, sir?
Ryan walked over to the dead mutie.
The call came from over there, so we know the store is empty. Now move it or lose it, Doc.
Hesitantly, the scholar did as requested, his face twitching with unease as they moved into the building. The interior of the store was the same as the others, stripped bare with nothing remaining. Why there would be stickies inside an empty building, Ryan had no idea. But these were new stickies. It would be impossible to guess their needs and goals. As the companions checked their blasters, the stickies calling outside were becoming steadily louder and closer.
Sounds like too many to take out in a stand-up fight.
I'll agree with that.
Christy opened the bathroom door with her rapid fire. For a second, the woman almost fired at the sight of angry eyes on an inhuman face, but then relaxed when she saw that it was her own reflection in a broken mirror.
Everybody out the back door.
Ryan pulled a grin from the pocket of his fur-lined coat. Very carefully, he checked the color coding on the military ordnance before removing the ring with a jerk, then cast it aside. Already moving that way, Jack eased open the metal fireproof door at the rear of the store, peeking outside with his MP5 rapid-fire at the ready. The exit led to an alleyway with a sagging wooden fence and a couple of rusted cars. Empty streets showed at either end.
Clear.
Move!
Ryan flipped off the arming lever of the canister. As the grin began to trickle smoke, he rolled it into the middle of the store as the companions rushed into the back alleyway. Standing rear guard, Ryan added another smoke canister to the first, just as a big male sticky appeared in the broken front window. Even through the billowing smoke, Ryan could see that there was a necklace of human teeth around its neck, and the mutie raised a spiked club to shake it menacingly. With a dry mouth, Ryan added a third grin, then moved fast, ducking out the back door, and kept going. His thoughts were chaotic, but cold. Escape. Keep moving, and get as far away from this pest hole as possible.